Let go and let God. Let go and let God. How often have you heard that phrase, let go and let God? How do you interpret that phrase in a meaningful and practical way? Upon hearing it, some folks might even be saying, well, what does it mean, let go and let God? What does that mean? We're often challenged with how to make religion, the word, the Bible, how to make it meaningful, how to make it apply to practical life. It's what I attempt to do. And this is one of those cases. So, it's interesting to consider that many people, they recite that phrase as an affirmation. But what's the context within which they are affirming the process of letting go and letting God? What is that context? It's easy to wonder about that audible declaration that one is making about letting go, but what does that mean? Is it a wish? Is it a pipe dream? Is it some sort of powerful incantation like a magician might say, hocus pocus? Does it exist like that? One of the major challenges with many religious paths is that it could be difficult to call out practical practices that are not muddy, that are not complex, that actually make sense in real life terms. Concepts like faith and belief can often cause a lot more confusion than clarity. There are many pat phrases related to religion and spirituality that we hear tossed about on a regular basis without a thought. People often recite these canned aphorisms offhandedly in order to sound spiritual, to sound intelligent. And sometimes their delivering of these messages, these little sayings, can be convincing. But are we truly convinced? Are we moved by these little words and pearls that people throw out? Are we inspired by the mindless speaking offered by these pat phrases? I don't think so, because if we were so inspired, then we would hold on to them in a powerful way rather than forget them 5 minutes later. Unfortunately, we've become a society where there are many, many people who have very little relationship with the words that they speak. There is so much robotic language going on that people don't relate to what they're saying. It's like we're talking robots. People don't even know how to relate to that which is coming out of their mouths, and they do it in such a casual manner that they have no relationship. The words just come out. And to give you an example of this, you can often listen to a conversation and hear one trite saying being tossed back and forth without the least bit of depth in the conversation. They're not engaged. And we've heard those conversations, and we may have even participated in them. Oh, yeah, you know, yada, yada, yada. And then the response is, well, yada, yada. And it goes back and forth with no real content, no real exchange. It's impersonal. Perhaps, just perhaps, this impersonal engagement, it is what there is to let go of. Because so many of us hold on to these phrases as if they're golden. But there's something to consider. If we were to let go What are we letting go of? And if we were to let God do what? How do we know it's God taking over? It might be one of those pat phrases actually sneaked into our psyche and has become action. Well, here's another way to think about it, another way to look at it. If one is familiar with 12-step programs, you know that there are 12 principles that they stand by. There are 12 steps that they recite. And these steps remind the participants about what they've committed to, what they are challenged with, what they're lending themselves to. It's all part of their move towards sobriety. Now, the third step in the 12-step program is of particular relevance here. In this step, it loosely says, I admit that I cannot do this on my own. I turn my will and my life over to God as I understand God to be. Let me say that again. I admit that I cannot do this on my own. I turn my will and my life over to God as I understand God to be. Now, in the context of the 12-step program, this is not something to be taken lightly. We can see how giving up the will by a particular participant to surrender that which has driven them to use is now being substituted by a higher will, being substituted by the will of God. Because they are declaring that they are turning their lives and their will over to God. Now, this is their way of saying, let go and let God. It's a powerful statement when you think about it. And when it's put inside of a context of action, stepping away from addiction, stepping towards sobriety, we can see how it makes a huge difference. We can see how meaningful it becomes. One reference from the Bible that I'd like to point to is coming from the book of James, 3rd chapter, 17th, 18th verses. And in that scripture, there's a declaration that basically says, the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy. Easy to be entreated, full of mercy, and full of good fruits. That's the wisdom that comes from above. Now, if we were to reflect upon this wisdom as the wisdom of God, it becomes quite clear for us to see how that wisdom differs from our human dispensing of what we might think of as wisdom-based. I mean, after all, how often do we attribute wisdom to money or to intellect or some other trait? Folks who have a lot of money, they must be wise because how else would they have a lot of money? But at the same time, how often have we been deeply disappointed by our misassignment of wisdom to those who prove to disappoint because they have money or they have acquired a lot of material things or they have a lot of intellect? You've heard that saying, they might be book smart, but they're not street smart. There's something different about the will of God versus the will and wisdom of humanity. We think that human trait or that human definition of wisdom is what drives things and what wins. No, we have it wrong. We've given noble recognition to those who have garnered quite a few material things. We consider them noble people, but we rarely look at what the cost of that wealth has been for that person or that family. Have we even assessed the cost of wealth that we have amassed? When you look around, there are so many people wanting to be like that movie star or that celebrity. And how many young people are foregoing education and integrity simply for the sake of impressing their peers? That's a huge price to pay for a celebrity. Rarely do we look at what it's costing to place wisdom in this human context that really has no payoff. And how often and how deeply have we displaced God, the wisdom of God, for worldly trinkets and possessions and celebrity? These very things, these trinkets, this wealth, they become appropriately insignificant when we are put in situations where our God-given wisdom is the only thing that will get us through a particular situation. When we're faced with those conditions where money doesn't matter anymore, where is the wisdom of God? When we're faced with challenges that don't allow us to buy our way out of it, where is the wisdom of God? When we're placed in situations where who we know doesn't make a darn bit of difference, where is the wisdom of God? And so I would like to offer for your consideration that the value that we place on material is displacing the higher, greater, more important value in that relationship with God, so that when we let go of this earthly material connection, these drivers, and we let God, there's a dramatic shift in the experience of life. You see, something more becomes available. We're actually transforming our lives as we speak about it, because when we let go of this dog-eat-dog world and lend ourselves over to, surrender ourselves to, as the 12-step number, step number 3 says, when we literally turn our will and our lives over to God, that's when the wisdom of God can step in and take shape and form and give expression in our lives. When we let God do the driving and we use that God-given wisdom, we experience the world in a powerfully different way. That's when you become aware of the presence and the power of the wisdom of peace, the wisdom of gentleness, the wisdom of grace, the wisdom of love, the wisdom of beauty, the wisdom of dignity, all through the wisdom of God. All of those elements become present through us when we invoke God's wisdom. But it means we have to let go. And when we let go, trust me, the world will sense it. The world will experience it. The world will know it. And when the wisdom of God is present, God is pleased. God bless.